number 13, if you want to find your place there. And while you're looking for Mark chapter number 13, I'll tell you about another answer to prayer. This is a real blessing. Brother James had brought to my attention, and I think maybe Sister Kathy had mentioned to him, that Preacher Bill and Sister Sharon, their last prayer letter, and I hadn't read it yet, and he had started it and didn't get all the way down. But anyway, they had a need. They had a special need. They're carrying around so much material to the schools that he had a need for a camper on his truck, on the back of his truck. So they're carrying around a lot of stuff, and won't all fit in the cab. And so Brother James and I, we talked about, could we have a special business meeting tonight and just see if we could meet their need? And Brother James had talked to him and asked him how much he needed. The camper top that he'd picked out was $1,000, and he told Brother James that he had $100 towards it, so he needed $900. And so Brother James had got back with me, and tonight we was going to bring that up and see if we couldn't meet that need. And Brother James had heard back from Brother Bill and said, never mind, it came in the mail this morning. Exactly what he needed. Somebody had met that need. And that really blessed me. I've been preaching on or teaching on prayer on the radio for several weeks now, and about how that when you have a need and you pray for it, and God is able to supply that need. And so that's just a blessing. That the Lord met that need in that way. So I'm thankful for that. Somebody got our blessing, though. If we'd have done that, we'd have got a blessing out of doing that. All right, Mark chapter number 13. We're going to read verses 34 through verse number 37. That'll take us down through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter number 13. This is lesson number 72. We've been 72 times in the book of Mark. The Bible said in verse number 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And so I told Brother Terry we was going to finish up this chapter tonight. And what we're going to title this, I want to give it a title of A Lesson for All. This is a lesson for all. And you may have noticed it in verse number 37. Look what the Bible says. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And so that's a lesson for everybody, for all. What I say to you, he was talking specifically to the disciples when he said that, but he said, what I say to you, I say unto all. And so this is for everybody. This is a universal lesson. We've actually been 8 weeks now just in Mark chapter number 13. We started back at the end of December, and of course we missed some for snow. We've had a few missionaries and things like that, but we've been 8 lessons or 8 weeks, 8 Wednesday nights in Mark chapter number 13. And the emphasis of Mark chapter number 13, and I pointed this out several times, who is this talking to? Who is this talking about? This is talking about the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, during the time period of the tribulation, leading right up to the end of the tribulation and the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the emphasis. That's what that is the subject of Mark chapter number 13. Now, Mark chapter number 13 is not talking about the church. It's not talking about the coming of Christ in the rapture. And a lot of times, Bible study, there's much confusion in studying our Bibles when we do not recognize that there is a difference between the church and the nation of Israel. There's a difference between those two. There's a difference between the rapture and the revelation, or the second bodily coming of Christ to this earth. And we pointed out last week some of the differences between those two, and we've already gone over that before. But this portion of Scripture, verses 34 through verse number 37, is good for everybody. There's some lessons here for all. And that's what we pointed out in verse 37. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And so we just want to point out some things from these verses tonight. First of all, there is a lesson concerning the Lord's return. And this would apply whether we're talking about His coming in the rapture or His coming at the end of the tribulation time period. There's just some, what we might say, some general lessons concerning the Lord's return. And there's four things I want to point out here in these verses. Number one, there is His journey. In verse number 34, the Bible said, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants." So here, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's making a comparison. "For the Son of Man is as." He's saying that this is what it's like. This is what His going away is like. And it describes for us in this verse the present situation that we find ourselves in. We find here in verse number 34 the present situation of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I mean by that, now after the Lord rose from the dead, He was here on the earth for 40 days after that. It talks about that in Acts chapter number 1. And if you want to turn over there, we'll read just a few verses. And a lot of times we don't think about it like this, but I was studying about this. Think about that. After the Lord, after His resurrection from the dead, He was here for 40 more days. Say, so how do we know He was here for 40 days? That's what it says in Acts chapter number 1. And I've already read this before, but I'm going to go over these verses again and just point some things out. I think it'll help us tonight. Acts chapter number 1. Verse number 3, the Bible said, "To whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion." That means after His passion means after Calvary, after the death, the burial, and the resurrection. "He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days." That's where our 40 days comes from. And so after the Lord rose from the dead, He remained here for 40 days according to the Bible. And it seems like, as we read these verses, that the main subject of His teaching during that time period concerned the kingdom. If we read on down, it said, "And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Verse number 4, the Bible said, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" So again, He taught concerning the kingdom of God. And they asked Him the question. Now, He's been with them now 40 days. He says, "Are you going to," they ask Him, they said, "Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the time that you've been talking about, that we've been looking forward to?" And why wouldn't they expect that? I mean, He had been with them for 40 days. And this is what He'd been talking about. This is what He'd been preaching about. So I can see in my mind, I mean, now it was, you talk about a crisis of faith, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But after 40 days, you'd sort of get your second breath, wouldn't you? You'd sort of begin to think, well, maybe this is a permanent thing. Maybe He's going to stay here. So they ask Him, "Wilt Thou at this time restore the kingdom?" Well, that was not the Lord's plan. He had already told them that He was going to go away. If we study John 14, 15, and chapter number 16, the night before Jesus went to the cross, He went into great detail. He said, "I go away. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send the Comforter in My place." So He'd already told them He was going to go away. Look in verse 7. "And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he had been here 40 days. And then he said, I'm going to go away. They still had a work to do. That's what he was talking about in verse number 8. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then he ascended out of their sight. Two angels stood by. They said, this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner. Now, have you ever been to the mall and you weren't familiar with the mall and you walk in and there's a map there and you don't know where you're at, but there's a little red dot and it says, you are here. And from that, you can tell where you are in the mall. Well, if we had the little red dot, we could put one there in Acts chapter number 1. You are here. Our master has gone away, but he's not come back yet. So in Acts chapter number 1, where the Lord goes away, and the angel said, this same Jesus shall come again. That's where we are. He's went away, but he's not come again. That's where we are. It's been almost 2,000 years now. So the Lord Jesus, back in Mark chapter number 13, he likens himself, the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house. That's where we are. The Lord right now is gone away into heaven. We know he has gone away. The second thing I want to point out, not only his journey, but there's his return. He is going to return. It said in verse number 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. And so the Lord told this little parable here in these verses, the Son of Man's gone away, but he's coming again. He's coming again. He is coming again. Here's what we don't know about this. We do know that he is coming again. He's promised that he would come back. He told the disciples in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there ye may be also. So he's went away, but he promised he'd come back. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we're waiting for tonight. We know the Lord is going to return, no doubt about that. We just don't know exactly when he's going to come back. That's what we don't know. But we ought to be able to tell, especially after the last 7-8 weeks tonight, we've been studying in Mark chapter number 13. After studying all of this, we should be able to tell that surely he's getting close. He's a whole lot closer to coming back tonight than he was when the disciples seen him go away into heaven. See, he had already told the disciples, you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. The gospel has to go around the world. They had a work to do. We're a whole lot closer tonight than they were then to the return of the Lord Jesus. And we ought to be able to tell that we're close just by some of the things we've studied in the past several weeks. Look back, for example, in verse number 7, Mark chapter 13, verse number 7. They had asked him, the disciples had asked him, when shall these things be? What's it going to be like? What's the sign of thy coming? Verse number 7, the Lord Jesus said, go back to verse 6, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Are there not many false Christs out there in the world? Sure there are. There's a lot of ways to be led wrong. Verse number 7, and when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is that happening today? It's part of this present age. I mean, that's been going on for a long time. Be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet. Now, when you see these things, you better start watching. That's not the end yet, but it's certainly a sign we're getting close. Verse number 8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. We see that we're living in an age, in a day, there's a lot of turmoil in the world. It's not getting better. It's getting more and more all the time. We ought to be able to tell by studying the Bible that we're closer to the Lord coming back than we've ever been before. Look over, we studied this last time. We'll just quickly point out, look at verse 28 and 29. He was talking about the parable of the fig tree. Verse number 28, now learn a parable of the fig tree. The fig tree is in the Bible the nation of Israel. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. When you see the nation of Israel begin to bloom again, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. The nation of Israel began to bloom again in 1948, May of 1948. They had been dispersed throughout the whole world for 1900 years. And then in May of 1948, they came back together. Of course, a lot led up to that, but they declared their national independence. This coming May, it's going to be Independence Day in the nation of Israel, a nation that was out of existence for almost 2,000 years. And the fig trees begin to bloom again. We ought to be able to see from the scripture that the return of the Lord draws nigh. So there's his journey it's talking about. There is his return talked about in verse number 35. In verse number 36, look at this. His coming is going to take place suddenly. The Bible said, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. This master of the house could come at any time. They didn't know when he was going to come back. But when he did, he was going to come suddenly. And the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take place suddenly. I just got to thinking about this today, and we're studying tomorrow night in school, we're studying the first mentioned principle, and I just was sitting there studying, and I thought to myself, I wonder what the first time the word suddenly is in the Bible. So I looked it up. The first time you find the word suddenly in the Bible is in Numbers chapter 6, verse number 9, and it says this, and if any man die very suddenly by him. That's the first time the word suddenly is mentioned in the Bible. It means this. It means instantly. Straightway. That's what the word suddenly means. And so I was studying about this morning, and I could think of several instances of somebody dying suddenly. I mean, you can literally be here and just be gone. It doesn't take a long time. Kim's dad passed away like that, very suddenly. I'd been studying about this and thinking about it. Last year, I was watching an Atlanta Braves baseball game on the TV. And I was just sitting there one night watching it, passing away the time. And I could tell by the reaction of the players that something had happened in the stands. It's just very odd. They started looking and pointing up there from the field, and they just come across and said, somebody fell out of the upper deck. And then they went away to a commercial break. And then they come back, and they were trying not to, show that part and what was going on. And the next morning, and they didn't say anything else about it. And the next morning, I got on the news, and I said, I wonder what happened to that man. And if you've ever been to a baseball stadium or a football stadium, you know what happened to him. He died instantly. There's a lot of kids, was right around there. It was a terrible thing. But just like that, can you imagine? You went to a game with your family, you're having a good time, and something happened, and he fell out of the stands and died. Just like that. You can be here, and you can be gone. And you don't have to be a certain age. You can be in the, you say, think I'm in the safest place there is. Nothing can happen here. No, suddenly, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to take place suddenly. You know how quickly things can change just like that. We'll be here. Things will be normal. We'll be gone. Same thing in the tribulation. They'll be there. The Lord will come. Things will never be the same. Suddenly is the characteristic of the Lord's return. In verse number 36, we also find this out. Many will be sleeping. He said, lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. We don't want to be found sleeping. We'll say a little bit more about that a little bit later. There's four times that are given in verse number 35. He said, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Now look, he said, at even, could come in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing. That's early in the morning before the sun comes up in the Bible, when the cock crows, when the rooster crows. Or in the morning. You know what times that is? That's any time. The morning, the evening, that's everything. The morning, the evening, the midnight, the cock crowing. The Lord Jesus could come suddenly at any moment. And no matter when he comes, have you ever thought about this? Somewhere it'll be morning. Somewhere it'll be midnight. Somewhere it'll be evening. Somewhere. Because there's those times all around the world at any time. So he's coming. He's coming. We need to be ready. So there's a lesson concerning the Lord's return. Second of all, there's a lesson concerning the Lord's people. And going back to verse number 34, there are three distinctions about the Lord's people. So he says in verse number 34, we find first of all his servants. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants. Now, in the Bible, the word servants, it means this. It means bond slaves. A bond slave is different from just somebody like Joseph who was sold into slavery. A bond slave in the Bible, if you study it out, a bond slave is a willing servant. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Come at your own free will and give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a bond slave. And there's a beautiful picture of that over in Exodus chapter number 21. And I don't think I've ever preached on that here. I've preached on it in a few youth meetings. And I remember when I was at Forest Grove years and years ago. But I preached out of Exodus chapter 21. And there's the lesson of the bond slave over there. And he said in Exodus 21 verse number 5. Now he had been a slave, but at a certain after his time was up, he was to be set free. But that man in Exodus chapter 21 said this, verse number 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. And over there in Exodus chapter 21, God told the children of Israel what to do. If you had somebody like that that would not go out, they wanted to stay, he said, take that person, put their ear up to the door, and take an awl and drive through their ear, and they'll be marked for life that they're a bond slave. They love their master. They said, I'll not go out. I'm going to serve them all the days of my life. I'd rather live my life serving him than I would have my own freedom. That's what a bond slave is. That's what a servant here in the Bible is. Now, this is a servant that had authority. If you look in verse number 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house. Now, when it says that he left his house, it's not just like we might think about somebody that they're going to go to Florida for the winter and they'll leave their house and they'll winter prepare it and, you know, they drain the water and turn off the heat and, you know, somebody drive by and check on it every once in a while. That's not what that means. When it says here in verse number 34 that he left his house, it's not like that. When he left his house, he left all his interests in the hands of his servants. Not just his house, all of his business interests,
All of his decisions concerning his land, his business, his money, his crops, his field, his equipment that had to be taken care of, the investment of the next year's crops, they didn't know how long he's going to be gone. When it said that he left his house, he left all of his interests. He said, fellas, there it is. You take care of it till I get back. Take care of everything. Pay the insurance when it comes due. Make sure the oxen and the cattle, and take care of the babies when they come on in the spring. I'm going away. I don't know when I'm coming back. You got to take care of all of it. This is a servant that has authority. We're talking about the Lord's people. The Lord has not left us here just as slaves, but the Lord has left us here as his servants, and he's given us authority. Have you ever thought about that? They had authority. They had responsibility. It said in verse number 34, who left his house and gave authority to his servants. We're not left here just to do the best we can, but we have, well, there's a lot of things. I told Brother Terry, I said, could have stretched this out a few weeks. Do you just think about it? Has the Lord given the church any authority? In Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter number 18, he gave authority to the church in prayer. Whatsoever you bind upon earth shall be bound in heaven. Boy, if we really got a hold of what prayer does, prayer moves the hand that moves the universe. God's given us some authority. God has given us his word. We have the authority of his word. We're the only people in the world that can pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his children. There's authority. There's a lot of authority. I think sometimes we don't recognize it. We don't use it. But he gave authority to his servants. He said, here is all my interests. You take care of it. Well, we got a big job. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Big responsibility. His servants. But he gave them authority. We could say a lot there. So there's the distinction of his servants. But look what else it said in verse 34. He said, a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. Now I really like this. Here is individual responsibility. I have a work to do, but so do you. A lot of people think, well, the preacher's got something to do, but we've all got something to do. And if you don't do what God has got for you to do, do you know what? It will be left undone. Because I really believe this. Nobody else can do what God's got for you to do. There's people you can reach that I'll never reach. There's people that will talk to you that won't talk to me because I'm a preacher. But they'll talk to you because you work with them. You go to school with them. You have influence with them. You are around them. And we have a part to do. We have an individual work to do. What happens if we don't do what God has got for us to do? Only eternity will tell. God's got somebody for you to reach. God's got something for you to do. Gave to every man his, look what it says there in verse number 34, his work. These servants had authority, but they also had work to do. We've got work to do. Lots of work to do. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Come talk to me. I'll give you some ideas. There's all kinds of things to do. All kinds of ways to be used in the work of the Lord. So it's an individual responsibility. So his servants, every man, but look in verse number 34, there's somebody else. It said, and commanded the porter to watch. Now a porter in the Bible is a very interesting individual. The porter in the Bible is mainly a watcher. He watches, and that's what it says in verse 34. And commanded the porter to watch. He's a doorkeeper. He opens and closes the door. He has a very important job. He is mentioned in John chapter number 10 in connection with the sheep. that the porter is the one that opens and closes the door. The porter is the one that lets the sheep go out in the morning and counts the sheep when they come back in the evening and make sure they're all there. He has a very important job. He's to keep the sheep in and he's to keep the wolves out. He's to let none but the sheep in, and he's to keep the thieves and the robbers out. He's a watcher. He's a steward. Now, there's a lot of applications we could make along those lines. Pastors are watchers. They're to watch over the flock. They're to watch for wolves. They're to watch for compromises to the Word of God. A pastor has a great responsibility. He's a porter. He's to watch. But you know what? Deacons are porters too. They ought to be watching what's coming in, what's going out. Song leader, Sunday school teacher, church member, what's going on in the church? We ought to be interested in the work of the Lord. We're to watch. This business has been committed unto us until he comes back. We're all to be watchers. We're all to be porters. And so there's some lessons concerning the Lord's people. We're servants. We are every man. We have an individual responsibility. We're to be porters. We're to be watchers. We have authority. All these things. A lot of good things there. Last of all, there's a lesson concerning the Lord's command. Now, in verses 34 through 37, let's read these again. And notice, what did the Lord command for them to do? Now, he's gone away. He said, I'm coming back. You take care of this business while I'm gone. Here's what we're supposed to do. Verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. And maybe you ought to underline this, commanded. Concerning the Lord's command, commanded the porter to watch. Then verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Concerning the Lord's command, this is good for everybody. What are we supposed to do? Watch, watch, watch. Three times in these verses we're commanded, we're told, we're reminded to watch for the Lord to return. Now, the watch in these verses is different from the watch in verse number 33. It's a different Greek word. It has just a little bit of a different meaning. But in verse 33, he said, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. The watch there is the idea of a man who has been sleeping and has been suddenly woken up. Don't you like that for somebody to wake you up? You just drifted off. And Kim's phone makes that dumb sound it makes. I won't throw that thing out in the road. It never happens when I'm wide awake, but I've just drifted off. And then what happens? The night watch is on. Your mind starts, woke me back up. You get to thinking. You can't go back to sleep. That's the kind of watch in verse number 33. I've just been woken up. Now I'm awake. And I can't go back to sleep. A man has been woken from his sleep. In light of Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 33, after we've studied all of these verses about the Lord's return, we ought to be awake. We ought to be awake to the nearness of the Lord's return. Maybe we weren't thinking that much about it a few weeks ago, but after all this time in Mark chapter number 13, we ought to be a little more awake than we were. Noticing what's going on in the world round about us. But in verse number 34, the watch there, when he commanded the porter to watch, in verse 35, when he said, watch therefore, that is wakefulness. That is not wake up, but that is stay awake. Stay awake. You're awake now. Stay awake. Stay alert. That's what the Lord has commanded us to do in light of his return. Watch. Stay awake. Be alert. Now, how many have done shift work? I know some of you have. those in the military, Sister Judy was a nurse, anybody else, Brother Dale, anybody, surely there's more, had to stay up all night. I hated that. I did that for a whole year when I was in the Air Force. I would go in at 11 o'clock and I would get off at 7 o'clock. And I did that Monday through Friday for a whole year. That's what they call shift work, where you work a different shift. And the hardest time for me to stay awake was always the last few hours. I was all right when I first went in. I just had a big thermos of coffee and I was ready to go, and I was sort of used to that. But boy, those last few hours when my shift was almost over, right before the sun would come up, you talk about hard to stay awake. This last little bit, right before the sun, the shift is almost over. What about spiritually? Where do you think we are at? The disciples had just went on shift, and it's been a long night. But I believe, according to the Bible, studying the Bible, don't you think our shift is almost over? Surely we're in just the last little bit. We don't know. The trumpet may sound, our shift may be over before we get back home tonight. We don't know that, but surely we can see that our shift, our time, we may be in the last days, we may be in the last months. Even if we're just in the last years, we're at the end. They were at the beginning of the age. We are at the end of the age. So in light of that, we ought to have been woke up by now. We're to stay awake. It's hard to stay awake. There's a lot of going on. There's a lot of things pulling our attention away. There's a lot of things make us sleepy, spiritually speaking. So what do you do? What do you do in them last hours? Well, I'd get up. I'd try to walk around. I'd do a lot of things to try to stay awake. I've actually fallen asleep driving two or three times when I was doing that. I was driving through a little town one night. I had to make a delivery from one base to the other base, and I was driving through, and the sound of briars and bushes woke me up. But the odd thing about that was, is I wasn't fighting sleep when it happened. I just fell asleep just like that. That scared me. I just fell asleep, but I'd been going and going and going, and you can do that, and you say, well, I'm all right. Boy, you better be careful. You might fall asleep. I fall asleep. I woke up and jerked it back in the road and it's scratched anyway. Nobody ever noticed. But I'll tell you what you didn't want to happen. You didn't want to be in that warehouse. And you know how it is in an empty warehouse. It echoes like. And you get real in tune to the sounds and everything. You didn't want to be in the warehouse and hear that door open up and the chief master sergeant walk in and find you sleeping. You talk about being in trouble, you'd be in big trouble. And you know what the Lord has said here in verse number 36? Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. The Lord's going to come back, and when he does, I'm afraid he's going to find a lot of sleeping going on. And the thing about sleeping, if you've been sleeping and you're caught suddenly, you can try to cover it up, but you can't hide it. Were you sleeping? No. You're lying. You look like you was. You talk like you was. You don't know your name. The Lord's coming. Let's not be sleeping. Let's be watching. Let's be awake. Let's be alert. Let's be busy about his business that he's left us in charge of. He's coming. Now next week, or really the week after that. And what we've been studying for months now is just covered one week. We just looked at one week. And what we've studied in Mark chapter number 13 probably actually took place within 20 or 30 minutes. What they asked the Lord and what he told them. But in chapter number 14, we're going to begin to see when the Lord goes to the cross. And so we've studied this and we've looked at it. I hope you've got a blessing out of it. I sure have. Let's not forget it. It's important stuff. I appreciate your good attention tonight. I appreciate you coming out.